This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2020 and today 253 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is September 10. Our readings today will be from the Wisdom of Sirach, chapters 1 and 2, Psalm 63, Proverbs chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 through chapter 2, verse 17. And we'll be beginning a new book today, The Wisdom of Sirach. We will be reading from this book into October. So let's say a bit about it. It has the feel of Proverbs, Lessons in Wisdom. The author's name is Jesus ben Sirach. He was a Jewish scribe who was apparently an instructor at a Jewish academy, probably in Jerusalem, where he taught religion and ethics a couple centuries before our Lord was born. He wrote it in Hebrew, but it didn't become well known until his grandson translated it into Greek. The grandson explains a bit in the prologue. So today we will read the prologue and then the first two chapters. Let's begin. The Wisdom of Sirach, the prologue. Of the many great things given to us through the law and the prophets, and through others who follow them, we should praise Israel for instruction and wisdom. Not only should those who read gain understanding, but also those who love learning should be able to help outsiders understand both through speaking and writing. Thus, my grandfather, Jesus, especially devoted himself to reading the law and the prophets and other books of the fathers. So he acquired sufficient skill in these, and himself was led to write something fitting for instruction and wisdom, that lovers of learning might become involved in these things as well, and especially, in addition to this, might live a life according to the law. Therefore, you are encouraged to read with goodwill and attention, and to do your reading with allowances made in cases where, although we worked hard in translating, we may seem to render a phrase inadequately. For what was said in Hebrew in itself does not have equal force when it is translated into another language. Not only this, but also the law itself and the prophets and the rest of the books differ not a little as originally spoken. For when I arrived in Egypt in the 38th year of the reign of King Ephergetes and spent some time there, I found a book filled with instruction. Thus I made it a necessity for myself to apply some diligence and loving labor to the translation of this book. So I employed my skill day and night to complete and publish it for lovers of learning who live in a foreign land and have prepared themselves beforehand to live according to the law. The Wisdom of Sirach, chapters 1 and 2. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and is with him forever. Who can count the sand of the seas, the drops of rain in the days of eternity? Who can search out the height of heaven, the breadth of the earth, the abyss and wisdom? Wisdom was created before all things, and the insight of prudence was from eternity. To whom has the root of wisdom been revealed, and who has come to know her great deeds? There is one who is wise and is feared exceedingly, he who sits upon his throne. The Lord himself created wisdom. He saw and numbered her and poured her out on all his works, in the midst of all flesh according to his gift, and he provided her for those who love him. The fear of the Lord is glory and boasting, and gladness and a crown of rejoicing. The fear of the Lord will cheer the heart. and will give gladness, joy, and long life. For those who fear the Lord, it shall be well to the utmost, and on the day of his death he will be blessed. The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and she was joined with the faithful in the womb. She constructed a foundation of life among men, and will be trusted among their seed. The gratification of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and she intoxicates them with her fruits. She will fill every house of theirs with objects of desire, and their storehouses with her harvest. The fear of the Lord is the crown of wisdom, making peace and soundness of health to flourish. The Lord saw and numbered her, and poured out the power of comprehension, and he exalted the glory of those who hold fast to her. The root of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and her branches are length of days. Unjust anger cannot be justified, for anger's decisive influence causes his fall. A patient man will hold fast until the proper time, then afterwards gladness shall burst forth for him. He shall conceal his words until the proper time, and the lips of many will tell of his understanding. In the treasures of wisdom are the parables of knowledge, but godliness is an abomination to a sinner. If you desire wisdom, keep the commandments, and the Lord will supply it to you. For the fear of the Lord is wisdom and instruction, and his good pleasure is faith and gentleness. Do not disobey the fear of the Lord, and do not come to him with a divided heart. Do not be a hypocrite in the sight of men, and be careful with your lips. Do not exalt yourself, lest you fall, and bring dishonor to your soul. The Lord shall reveal your secrets, and in the midst of the assembly he will strike you down, because you did not come in the fear of the Lord, and your heart was full of deceit. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation. Set your heart right and be steadfast, and do not strive anxiously in distress. Cleave to him and do not fall away, that you may be honored at the end of your life. Accept whatever is brought upon you, and in exchange for your humiliation, be patient, because gold is tested in fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of abasement. Believe in him, and he will help you. Make your way straight, and hope in him. You who fear the Lord, wait for his mercy, and do not turn aside, lest you fall. You who fear the Lord, believe in him, and your reward will not fail. You who fear the Lord, hope for good things, and for everlasting gladness and mercy. Consider the ancient generations and see, who believed in the Lord and was put to shame, or who stood fast in his fear and was forsaken, or who called upon him and was overlooked. Because the Lord is compassionate and merciful, he forgives sins and saves in time of affliction. Woe to the cowardly hearts and weakened hands, and to a sinner who walks on two paths. Woe to a fainting heart because it does not believe, therefore it will not be sheltered. Woe to you who have lost your patient endurance. What will you do when the Lord visits you? Those who fear the Lord will not disobey his words, and those who love him will keep his ways. Those who fear the Lord will seek his approval, and those who love him will be filled with the law. Those who fear the Lord will prepare their hearts and will humble their souls before him. We will fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. For as his majesty is, so is his mercy. Psalm 63. Hear my voice, O God, and my supplication. Deliver my soul from fear of the enemy. You sheltered me from the conspiracy of evildoers, from the multitude of those who work lawlessness, who sharpen their tongue like a sword. They stretch their bow, a bitter thing, to strike down the blameless man in secret. Suddenly they will shoot him and not be afraid. They made an evil word strong in themselves. They told of hiding snares. They said, "Who will see them?" They searched out lawlessness. In searching they grew weary. A man shall draw near, and the heart is deep, and God shall be exalted. Their blows became a childish barb, and their tongues were utterly weakened in them. All who saw them were troubled, and every man was afraid. And they proclaimed the works of God, and understood his deeds. The righteous man shall be glad in the Lord, and shall hope in him, and all the upright in heart shall be praised. Proverbs 13, verses 1 through 5. An astute son is obedient to his father, but a disobedient son is for destruction. A good man eats from the fruits of righteousness, but the souls of the lawless will destroy themselves before their time. He who guards his mouth keeps his own soul, but he who is hasty with his lips will dismay himself. Every idle man has desire, but the hands of the courageous are diligent. A righteous man hates an unrighteous word, but an ungodly man is ashamed and will not have confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 through chapter 2, verse 17. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you I came no more to Corinth, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you, with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Have you ever seen in the supermarket those diffusers? They scent the air, and you can get them in all different aromas, like northern pine or lemongrass or apple pie. The idea is to help make the place smell better. You see them in bathrooms a lot, and when people are trying to sell their home. I think apple pie works best for that. Anyway, Paul says that we are God's diffusers. He says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So here's the question. How do you smell? Are you nice and clean? The odors that exist when we don't keep ourselves clean may be invisible, but they still keep others away from us. We are called to be God's fragrance in the world. I mentioned apple pie fragrance a moment ago. I kind of like apple pie. And when I walk in my home and smell apple pie, it's so inviting. But we need to remember that our actions emit a fragrance. Are the fragrances we are emitting inviting or repelling? We are meant to be emitting the inviting fragrance of Christ. Our thoughts, words, and deeds are emitting an aroma. They are altering the atmosphere around us. And it doesn't matter what we or anyone believes or who you are, it just is. So think about that today. What are you emitting? How does your choice in words and action change the atmosphere around you? I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.